What sort of books do I write? Well, I'm multi-genre. I write all sorts, everything from true life stories to children's books of all ages, scary stories. But I do particularly like fantasy and epic fantasy. But I like fantasy with a little bit of humour in it. I think humour is important with everything in everyday life. So that's mainly what I tend to write about. Most of my books are on Amazon, but usually the simplest way is to direct people to my website, which is www.thewand.me. And on there you'll see all the books that I've written so far, with links to the Amazon page there where people can purchase the books. Do I write, or how did I get into writing? That's an interesting one. 7 years ago, I hadn't written anything. I was awful at school with English, just scraped through. So that was one good reason for not getting into writing books. But I went to see a clairvoyant. And this clairvoyant said to me, whatever happens, you're a horse at the moment, you've got your hoof stuck in the mud, you need to fly like an eagle. Yeah, right. But she started grabbing me by the lapels, shaking me and saying, you really need to write a book. It's in you. You should write. So I started doing little stories on Facebook just to test it out. And people enjoyed them. It was a sort of comedy I was writing at the time. And then it took off from there. And why do I write? I write for the love of it. And I write for myself, to be honest. You know, I'm sure other people have said that too, but I do. I write for myself. And if people like what I've written, that's great. That's the way it sort of all works for me. So what am I working on at the moment? I'm on to something called The Big Fairy Adventures. It's a humorous look at the fairy world. I've got this beautiful fairy kingdom called Lay Lemony, but my heroine is a rather overweight fairy. She's called Tinker Tanker. She's a lovely fairy because she's got a heart of gold, but she just likes her nectar too much. She can't fly in a straight line. She's always bumping off sides of walls, so she's always covered in bruises. She has a sidekick too, a little human guy who's Chinese called Dingling. But they are heroes in the fairy and the human world, so I'm writing that. But I've had to do a little bit of a detour. About a year ago, I wrote a book for 9 to, say, 14-year-olds, called The Moon and the Magic Box. It's an adventure series, and I wanted to capture the magic I had when I was a little boy reading Enid Blyton's The Famous Five, and I just wanted that sort of an adventure where there were friends involved and an animal, so we've got a dog in it called Nesbit. And that's gone on to be really popular. And I've had quite a few children now email me and saying, will there be a sequel? We'd really like one. So I've broken off from The Big Fairy Adventures to write the sequel, which will be called A Box Full of Aliens. What I'm also doing with this book is that I have beta readers, but they're all children. It's just nice to get a child's perspective on it all. Plus, there's a lovely little school in Croatia where I have got the children there to draw little images of what they think an alien in their mind would be like, and to give me a name for it and also what its superpowers are. And I'm including them at the start of every chapter in the book. So what keeps me writing? I just love writing. I mean, even with COVID-19, self-imposed sort of isolation, I guess, most authors. So it's not really affected me at all. I'm a pantser. That's something that I had to come to terms with, which I'm really pleased now, that I'm not only the only one in the world that sits down and then starts to write a book. But I have no idea the subject of that book or how that book will run till I sit down and then start writing. And it all just comes out. What sort of advice could I give to aspiring authors? Well, number one, and I made a big, huge mistake with this, is don't put all your eggs in one basket. In other words, I'm a self-published author and I just relied totally on Amazon. And Amazon really messed it up when I did a huge book launch of my Wand Chronicles. It's a 4-book series. So my advice is try to get your books also into Kobo, Goodreads, Apple Books, Draft to Digital, and so on. And that would really help you a lot. The topic that I'm going to be talking about is making my characters believable. So how do I build the characters that appear in my books? Well, in my case, we have to start right at the very beginning and explain that my background is that of an actor of 35 years, both in theatre, TV, film. But more importantly, I was a method actor. In other words, I would recreate as best I could the personality and characteristics of a character. I wouldn't stop with whether they were male or female, 35 years old, for example. I would really read the text, get to grips with it. And only then could I give a character life, put flesh on the bones, if you like. For example, I've recently recorded an audiobook for a client. It's about climate change, but it's for children. We're in the North Pole. The hero is a polar bear called Polo the Bear. But Father Christmas is stuck in slushy snow because of climate warming. He just cannot get off the snow, and he's getting very frustrated. We already have an idea in our heads about Father Christmas, right? He's middle-aged, maybe likes too many mince pies, but he's got a very kindly personality, loves children. But okay, in this case, he is grumpy, and he's running out of time, so his ho-ho-hos are a little strained. I just want to get my sledge into the air and off to those children. I don't know what I'm going to do. So he's very frustrated in the back of his head. So I tried to picture Santa, frustrated, but keeping all the elements I've already mentioned. But how about the characterization of Polo the Bear? Do you give him an accent? He's also very hungry. And into this mix come two Inuit Eskimos. Do they have accents? What sort of personalities do they have? And to work that out, you'd probably need to know what sort of a life they had as children and where they live. They are, in fact, happy because they helped Santa get his sleigh into the air. Now, to my own epic fantasies, The One Chronicles. I have humans. And with humans, it's pretty easy. The hero is called Hugo Bruff. He's a military man, in his late 20s, a brilliant tactician. He's fair, but also very disciplined. He loves animals, but he also needs advice at times. In some things, he's very innocent. So I built up his childhood. He has a father who appears in the books, who is a very strong disciplinarian, isn't a nice person at all, treats him pretty badly as a child. With all that behind him, he still comes out as being a thoroughly good guy. So you can see already I'm starting to build up this picture of Hugo Bruff. What we've got to remember too is that Hugo has a sidekick. It's a Chinese man called Ding Ling. And I needed to bring humour into the story. It's really important, I think, with everything. Even in the darkest depths of despair, it's nice to have a little bit of humour. So he's always quoting Confucius, so there will be times when, although he's very clever, Hugo will be saying, I need to do this and I need to do that. I think I'll try to do them both at the same time. And Ding Ling will be there trying to persuade him not to do that. And he will come out with his Confucius sayings. For example, there was one time in the story when Ding Ling says to him, Master, you can't take a sleeping tablet if you've already taken a laxative pill. So we start to introduce this into it. So we then have to build up the life of Ding Ling. We know he's around about 45. He was badly treated in China as a small boy by a cruel uncle. So he's got that sort of background to him too, but he's very, very brave and very, very loyal because Hugo rescued him. So now I work on these characters even more. I explore their lives from being children, write it down, refer to this as I write. But once established, it all comes more naturally. For example, Ding Ling, I know, loves Chinese-style clothing and noodles. You see what I mean? Okay, so what about building up the characters of the elves that come into the story? My imagination research tells me the elves have been around for, what, 3.5 million years? Longer than we've been around as humans. So they're a lot more advanced. But I didn't want to just say to the readers, look, we're pretty similar. We've got arms, legs, a torso. But I also wanted to introduce something else. And in this case, for the elves, they have two hearts, for example. One keeps their blood cruising around their body, but they've got a very large brain and they use 85% of it, so they've got another little heart that keeps it, if you like, super cool down. The men are hermaphroditic, in other words, they also can produce the children. The women are the scientists and the thinkers in the elvish culture. So already I'm building these up. But can elves, for example, have personalities? Can they be emotional? Can they have feelings of jealousy, of enviousness? So I write all that into it as well. So then you begin to get these different, even within the elves, these different personalities. So how else could I differentiate? For example, the elves will live now to almost 180 years. Four books and 400,000 words later, the main characters are part of my life and always will be. If I can make the reader become upset, for example, if a main character elf dies, I feel I've done my job, but I become very attached to the characters, to the extent that I'm writing a new series now called The Big Fairy Adventures, and I've got Dingling as a character because I liked him so much, and he's introduced into the stories that I'm writing now. I have beta readers that read through the rough, uncut stories as I write them, and I had five involved on the writing of the One Chronicles, and all of them said right at the beginning, after they got into the books, maybe, you know, after the first book, please, whatever you do, don't kill off Dingling. We love him so much. So that was another way to sort of confirm to me that these characters can be built on, and you can either love them or you can hate them.